My name is Becky Schnexer, and you're listening to the Expedition Schnexer Podcast. Thank you for joining this special season of the Expedition Schnexer podcast, all about Antarctica, preparation for the expedition itself, and what happens afterwards. Hey, you guys, thank you again. You came back for another episode, the special season of my podcast, all about my Antarctica expedition. So I've talked to you, or you've listened to my packing journey. What does it take? What am I taking with me as I pack for this expedition? I've given you a little bit of background about what is happening. What's the journey going to be like? What do I know for sure? What am I anticipating? And today's episode is all about why an all-women expedition. Why STEM? Why Antarctica? Those are three really big questions. And if I was a little more wise, I probably would have broken this podcast into a couple different episodes, because those are big questions, really important questions, and questions that are near and dear to my heart and my soul as a woman, as a STEM professional, as a field scientist, as a PhD student, as a human in the world around me. So let's jump into it. Let's tackle these big, important questions. So why women? Why am I going on an expedition with only women? And that is such a big question. It's such a good question. I have not been on an expedition with only women before. So this is all new to me. It is near and dear to my heart. For so many reasons. So we'll break all those down. So this expedition in particular is all about women in STEM careers with that extra M. So if you haven't, or maybe you've forgotten from previous episodes, this is all about women in STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and we have an extra M on this expedition. That final M, that extra M in STEM, is for medicine. So every single woman on this expedition is connected to science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and or medicine. And they are leaders in their field. We've been on this journey for at least 2 years together, developing our own skills, really figuring out who we are, what our personal visions are. And now we're coming together as women in STEM careers with different visions, or slightly modified visions, than we had 2 years ago. And while we're on this expedition together, we're going to be working on visibility for other women in STEM careers, and even girls coming up in the world. How do we make space for them? How do we show them that this is for them? Women belong everywhere, especially in STEM careers. And so the focus is on women because there have been great strides in elevating and improving the visibility of women in STEM careers, but it's not enough. And even if we take away that whole STEM piece, women in leadership roles globally were still highly underrepresented. And so this program has a lot of facets to it, but it's really focusing on, what do we do? We are women in STEM. We are women leaders around the world. What can we do? How did we get where we are? We're investigating that. What were the things that helped us along the way? What are the things that hindered us along the way? What are the things that are helping us now? What are the things that are hindering us now? And how can we make it better for the women and girls that are coming after us? Or they're with us, they're alongside of us on this journey. What can we do? What will we do to increase the visibility and the representation of women in STEM careers and women in leadership roles across the board in every facet of the world, the workplace, activism, all of these things? How do we amplify women and get that representation, get those perspectives, get that experience, and make it easier for women to to come in to these roles. And this is personal for me, not only because I'm a woman, but growing up, I was not, science and math in particular were not something that was promoted for me. I loved science. I knew it was awesome. I was super interested in it. I was great at it. I was very engaged in science content. When it came to math, I'm great at math. I'm not fast at math. And growing up, especially in my elementary years, this word fast was equivalent to good when it came to math. If you were to be considered good at math, you had to be fast. And I wholeheartedly do not believe that's true. I'm living proof of that. I am great at math. Can I do it super, super quick? Absolutely not. But I can do it, and I can do it well. And I have lots of different strategies when it comes to solving complex math problems or even simple math problems, but I'm not fast. But that's a problem that I grew up with. I was not quick at math at a very young age, third grade, in fact, 8 years old. I was deemed not good at math because of multiplication tests. So when I was young, third grade was kind of a big year when it came to math. It decided your trajectory, which sounds crazy, right? At 8 years old, we're deciding the trajectory of little humans and what they're good at and what they're not good at. But that was my reality. So in third grade, I was not quick at doing my multiplication facts, the single digits. It was an expectation that we memorized our 0 through 12 multiplication facts. And really they focused on 0 to 9, but then they extended it to 10s, 11s, and 12s. But we had these daily quizzes where you had to, what's 2 times 4? What's 6 times 8? What's 4 times 3? And you had to be that quick. If you didn't have the answer that quickly, as quick as I was just going, you were deemed not good at math, and I wasn't. I could not do my multiplications that quick. Could I do them? Yes. Did I have a lot of anxiety when it came to someone looking at me and just calling out math facts and me having to present an answer quickly? Absolutely. And even to this day, my 8s, if you ask me 6 times 8, I'll tell you that it's 48, but I'll pause and I'll hesitate because it still kind of sticks with me. But all of this to say, that was a long-winded way to tell you that in third grade, because I wasn't quick with those multiplication facts, I was told point blank by the adults in my life, the educators in my life, that I was not good at math. And so I was not going to be good at science. So just that's a reality for me. And I held that with me for 20 plus years. I held with me, I'm not good at math, I'm not good at science. And I just kept avoiding them because I was told by trusted adults in my life that those were things that I wasn't going to be good at. I still knew in my heart, in my soul, I knew I absolutely love science. I started to hate math, but I was still good at it. I could still do it well. So later in life, high school, college time, I had a lot of teachers that asked me, like, why aren't you pursuing science? Why aren't you pursuing this type of work? Why are you going to be an elementary teacher? And I would always tell them the same thing. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at math. I'm not good at science. And it all went back to that third grade. I was not allowed to sign up for advanced classes my entire career, starting in fourth grade, because of those multiplication tests. And that really, it held me back. It stunted my growth. It stunted my passion, which so clearly, if you know me or you've seen anything that I've done in the last 10 years, clearly science and math are passions for me. But I ran away from them for a really long time as a result of these things. And so growing up young, even in high school and in college, it wasn't promoted for me to go into science, even though I still knew I was great at it. I did have some educators that saw that passion in me and they tried to get me to pursue it. And I just avoided it like the plague until I became a teacher. And as a teacher, I wanted to be an advocate for my learners of all ages and all interests. I never wanted to be the educator that I had that told someone that something they were passionate about was not something that they could or should pursue. And so in my own journey as an educator, trying to change that mindset and change that approach to education, I re-realized my passion for science. And I decided that I, you know what, I'm a teacher and a scientist and all of these other things and an explorer and a traveler and a mom and a wife and a friend, you know, all of these ands. I wasn't just one thing. And I decided for myself that I wasn't going to let what other people thought or their trajectories for me dictate what happened. And so now, as I'm going on this expedition, I keep thinking back to all of the other girls and women that may have similar stories or something that has happened that has held them back from their passion, or the fact that they didn't see. I didn't have women and girls in my life who were pursuing science and math. I didn't have anyone to look up to and go, oh my gosh, you know what? This educator told me I'm not good at it, but I see this other woman or I see this other girl doing this. So maybe, yes, I can. I just didn't have that. And so this expedition for me is kind of, I feel like it's my life's culmination. Everything's coming together. I get a chance to be that woman, be that girl for other people, to show them that yes, you can, to tell them yes, you can, and to personify all of that, to continue this message of if you're passionate about it, you need to pursue it. It doesn't even matter, even if you're not good at it. Let me tell you something, friends. I love to draw. I love it. Am I good at it? No, I am not at all, but I love it. So I continue to do it on every single one of my expeditions. I make time to draw because I'm passionate about it. I like it. I am not good at it. Maybe one day I'll be good at it. I'm pretty good at scientific sketches. But, you know, traditional art that you would look at someone's drawings and you're like, oh my gosh, you're great at art. You would not probably say that about what I do, but I still like it. So I want to be that voice and that example for other girls and women in particular, that one, yes, you can. Two, if you're interested in it, relentlessly pursue that passion, no matter what anyone else says, no matter what anyone else thinks, no matter what someone else manifests for your life. It's not for them to decide. It's for you to decide what you like, what you're going to do, and the messages that you feed yourself. So incredibly important. So why women? I say, why not? Women. I'm here to be a woman and be a girl example for others that are on this journey with me, who are coming after me, to see that they can and they should. And I'm here to support you in that journey. And that kind of goes along with that, the next big question, why STEM? Why science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and medicine? And again, for that answer, my big answer is, why not? Why not women in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and medicine? They are the leaders. They're the current leaders. They're the upcoming leaders. They're leaders that are changing the game, hopefully, and they're showing other women and other girls that they can. The women that are currently in STEM careers have gone through a lot, and we continue to go through a lot. So why not women in STEM fields? And I tell you what, you'd be hard-pressed to find a woman who's not connected to STEM fields. So why STEM? Because why not? Why not STEM? It's all-encompassing. Things that we do every single day are related to STEM concepts. Sometimes more than one letter in that acronym, sometimes all of them, sometimes just one of them. And that's okay. It's okay to just be one of those letters. That's pretty daggone cool, if you ask me. So yes, yes, women, yes, STEM. And a big question, the third big question, I know, why Antarctica? We know that global climate change is doing a number on Antarctica, on the ecosystems, on the ice, on the climate, on the ecology, right? It is a fragile place. Why, Becky Schnexer, how dare you go to Antarctica, right? The carbon footprint alone to get there can be rather large. And by being there as a human, by being there, it can be damaging to the ecosystem. I can be contributing to all of the things that are causing destruction in Antarctica. So what gives me the audacity to go to Antarctica? And that's a great question. And those are all valid points. Yes, by me going, my carbon footprint it's going to be something. It's going to have an effect on climate change. It is going to have an effect on the ecology and the ecosystems of Antarctica. But here's the thing. By going there, I can make choices in the things that I do to offset my carbon footprint, which I am doing. And I think that's a whole nother podcast episode is going to be on carbon offsetting and the sustainability practices that I am using during this expedition to neutralize my impact by going to Antarctica. But by going to Antarctica, by seeing the ecosystem, by witnessing it, by me physically being there to collect data, to make observations, to see the fragility of the ecosystems and the ecology, to see what's happening, I can then bring that message, I can bring that data, I can bring this experience to others to educate them. This is what I saw. Here's the evidence. Here's the data. Here are the stories of the women who are on this expedition. Here's the stories of the penguins, the leopard seals, the orcas, the algae, all of the things, the stories that the ice hold down there, and even the volcanoes and the geothermal energy. I can bring that experience. I can bring those stories to the public and to my social media following, and I can help educate. I can help show actions and present behavioral changes, ideas on what we can do to help, what we can do to repair some of the damage that is happening to these ecosystems. And especially in Antarctica, it's one of the most fragile ecosystems, and it's where we can see the effects of long-term global climate change rapidly. And so why Antarctica? Because it helps tell the story. It helps on my journey. It helps me experience something and then be a part of the action to help promote change around the world. So in and by going, yes, it's going to have an impact, but I promise you, the impact, the negative impact, possible negative impact that I might have on the climate and on the ecology and on the ecosystems will be offset, will be neutralized by the things that I plan to do in response to this expedition. So it's bigger than me. It's bigger than the possible negative effects of the expedition. There's so much that can be done and will be done as a result that will neutralize that impact. So yes, thank you for asking these types of questions. They're so incredibly important. And equally as important are the answers to them. So my friends, thank you so much for sticking around for this special season, the special podcast series on my expedition to Antarctica. And feel free, please reach out if you have further questions, or if I said anything that caught your attention and you want to learn more, or you want to push back. If I said something that you want to challenge, please do. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm in science, right? I want to uncover. I want the truth. I want to learn more. I want to change behaviors. I want to help educate the general public. So please reach out. Let's interact, because you're on this journey with me. This is our expedition. I'm physically going, but guess what? I'm taking you with me. And by you listening to this podcast, that tells me that you're interested, that you want to know more, that you want to feed some sort of curiosity. And I'm here. I'm here to help. So my friends, thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you on the flip side. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Expedition Schnexer. I hope you tune in next time.